It has been a crazy week. I'm like, I've been running around like, I met Mariah Carey this week.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's a bucket list week.
That's crazy.
How did you meet her?
I met JC Chazet.
Shut up.
What? It's a long story.
We had the Latin Grammys? Where were you?
Well, he's not Latin. I'm just saying they
could have gone.
I read he's like a Mennonite. Is that similar to Mormonism? Mennonite, right? Isn't that?
I mean, it's a fundamentalist faith, but it's not.
Okay.
I mean, it's not too similar. Nothing.
This whole thing is going to be about religion, I guess.
I hope. Oh, it reminds me. I have something to show you. Hold on.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Wait, where is it? I'm so unorganized.
It's all right. I'm going to do a little intro. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the B-List. I'm B. I am here with a very special guest. She's a bombshell housewife. She's a great mother, a devoted single mother, a loyal friend. And an author. She's now an author. Her book, Bad Mormon, is coming out February 7th, 2023. Is that okay?
It's Heather Day. Right.
She's the best.
It's me.
The best cast member on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. The reason that I watch, like,
really?
Yes, but you hear that a lot. I mean, you were at BravoCon and the guy was like some guy. I didn't run into you there, but I was.
We didn't see each other.
They sent me like.
Tried, but
I went for like 2 days, and but your panel was the one I really remember because a guy was there and he came up at the very end and I forget what he said, but he was just like, we all see ourselves in you. Mm-hmm. And it was just like this long kind of like monologue that he was basically kind of giving to you. And it was like, just loving on you. And you started crying and people in the audience were crying. And it was just a moment. It was the one like heartfelt moment because otherwise the rest was just like bickering.
Right. And it was definitely a heartfelt like community moment. It felt like we were all kind of like celebrating Bravo and Housewives and like how far reaching and connecting it can be. And I loved that moment. That moment that was, you know, ephemeral. That like exceeded all expectations of anything you ever dreamed fame might be.
Uh-huh.
That energy in that room in that moment was physical. It was tangible.
Because I'm sure with like reality TV or just in social media in general, like there can be so many negative things, but I always say that like, if you're using it the wrong way, you're going to get the wrong kind of like energy. But I feel like if you use social media for like a positive, it can totally like bring you great stuff. It's like, you know,
I mean, I feel like it's an ocean. I describe it in my book. It's like an ocean wave after every episode that just kind of like crashes on you. You don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get some dross. You're going to get some garbage. You're going to get some bullshit, but you're also going to get treasures.
Yes.
People that you didn't know that you'd connect with, that saw something, that laughed at something, that make you laugh at yourself. And that those moments, like, it's like this anticipation. It's almost like Christmas, you know?
I love that.
And it's mostly good. You know, it's been really good, which has been absolutely healing and life-changing. I feel like
this is why we relate, because you're like a glass half full. Wait, what were you going to show me? You were going to show me something.
Oh, I was going to show you. Hold, I got to grab it.
Guys, she's wearing a New York Yankees hat just for me. Bad Mormon. Okay. Wait, are those, is that the book cover? She's putting her headphones on. Was that the book cover?
So these
are
like little, this is the book cover, but these are little pass along cards that we had at BravoCon, because on the back there's a QR code which gave them a little audio content, a little tease, and
a playlist,
because every chapter in Bad Mormon is either a song title or a lyric from like a life-changing song. And so I have
a Bad Mormon
playlist on Spotify that you can download and like kind of get a tease of what the timeline of the book, because it goes through all the songs, you know.
Nice. Is Like a Prayer one?
There's Like a Prayer is not when it should be, but I got so high that I saw Jesus is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There are a couple songs that should have been on there, and Like a Prayer now after BravoCon that should have been on there.
Yeah.
And also Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine. That was like kind of my divorce song, but I didn't give it a chapter title. And the other day it came on the radio just spontaneously, and it like hit me like, shit, I can't believe that one didn't make
yeah.
list. You know, I got to write a second book now. I got to write, next book.
There's some like great audiobooks, like Mariah Carey for one has like, I mean, if you're going to read Mariah Carey's story, you want to get the audio. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Not for out of sure. laziness, but just, you have to hear. It's like Teresa Giudice came out with her book and it's like, you're not going to read the book. You want the audio of Teresa. Yes.
You want to hear her doing it and
trying to pronounce
all those words.
Yes.
I just finished recording the audiobook last week for Beth Mormon. Nice. So it's totally done, which I'm excited about.
I'm excited to read your book. And you've also got, like the third location of Beauty Lab and Laser. Is that open yet? Or
second, on the show? Second location.
Oh, second. Okay.
Yeah. Second location. The grand, it's not open yet. It'll be open next month.
Okay.
And second location. Business is booming thanks to the show and just, you know, a solid business.
I guess. For two, then two's the lucky number. What's like the top two procedures that people get?
Laser? Well, Botox and lips are number one. We say change your lips, change your life. And we have a giant oil painting of Kylie Jenner on our wall.
Okay.
Because we believe like this woman just owned what she wanted to change and made no apologies. You know, at 17, got her lips done and now has the Kylie lip kit, is on the cover of Forbes, is a billionaire, is the most followed person on Instagram. And we just feel like she deserves more than an oil painting, but she is our muse for sure.
What do they say? There's like a meme going around or it's like really old, but it's like, you're not ugly, you're just broke.
Yeah.
So, whenever I put out, I'm like, so
cute. Yeah, we always say that. More money, cuter you can be. Yeah, it's true. And it's that's kind of, Beauty Lab tries to like democratize it and just make it available and accessible for everyone. No shame, no like mystery. It's just inject your lips if you're insecure about them and move on. Live your best life. You know, don't waste more emotional energy thinking about it.
Do people come to the parking lot still and take photos where the van was?
It is on Yelp as a landmark of Salt Lake City.
I think I saw that, right? Yeah. That's so fucking amazing. Yeah. Oh, wait, there was like the billboard that you did and it was genius. It was like, if you know, you know.
Yeah. Right? We did that before it even happened. And so now it's like, you know, everything like, we call it MacTube. Like everything is like written in the destiny of Beauty Lab, just the way that it all went down and the fact that we had these giant billboards that said IYKYK, because we thought we were this like innovative, disruptive practice and that's what it meant. But now it's like, if you know, you know.
Something else. Yes. Yeah. It's like, no.
Totally.
So you say a lot that you're like a child of reality TV. Like you watched a lot of reality television before the shows and you're kind of like ushered in like a new wave of housewives that kind of like have watched it previously. So kind of have like a different set of eyes on the franchise. Yeah. Do you have any like reality TV, like icons that you like before you were even signed the paperwork that you already.
I mean, some of the icons for me are what I loved about reality television might've been, I think everyone has a thing that hooks them, you know, like it wish fulfillment or voyeurism or drama or humor or whatever it is. But for me, it was like, I liked the nitty gritty reality television, like Hoarders, Intervention.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, like I like the 600 pound life, but like, of course I watched all the Housewives and I would say in the Housewives, iconography, like the ones that terrified me and fascinated me were like Nene, Phaedra, Bethany, Ramona, you know, Sonia, just the ones that
polarizing
and kind of, I mean, what's transparent, but in like the best way, you know, just
makes sense.
Like
consistently,
who they were and unafraid, unabashedly afraid and funny and fascinating and strong, powerful. And I think that my background, I was around well-behaved women all the time, like quiet, sweet, nary a contrary word women. And it wasn't real, but it was, so it was like nice to see options. And it was just like, It took me to another world. Like, I know that sounds trite because I was just, you know, living a normal white girl life in suburbia.
But it makes sense. Totally, you're like have access now to like seeing different, you know? Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like a small town girl that sees a different way of life and you can't be it if you can't see it.
Yeah.
And so television brought that into my life.
I love that.
Changed me, you know?
Are there any housewives that you would like defend to the grave? Like they can do no wrong. Like you're going to go like stand behind me. I'm fighting for you. Like no matter what happens.
I think all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. Okay. I could find a way to defend because now that I've been in it, I realize how swampy it can get and mm-hmm. how much internal just wherewithal it takes to do it. And so yeah. every single person deserves an ally, even, you know, the most wretched of people. And sometimes our behavior isn't reflective of what we want to say or how we feel or what we want to express. And so, I mean, I want to be an advocate for like the absolute, you know, be trodden.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, yeah, no, I totally get that. Yeah.
I'd be a criminal defense attorney pro bono. Like I would fight for the down and dirties, you know, because I just feel like that's where I feel fulfilled. And that's like, that's the entrepreneur in me too. Creative problem solving, mm-hmm. find a solution, find a way to make it make sense. And women are complex people. And we also, misogyny is like steeped in our society. And so I would be an advocate for every single one of them, but I would love to go to bat for Jules Weinstein.
Someone was just talking about her last night. Okay. So I was on a panel this week. Do you know Ira Madison? Do you know Ira?
He's like a writer,
culture writer. He's hilarious. I'll offline, but shout out Ira. So we were like on a panel together at Soho House and shout out Soho House. And they asked us each for like our favorite housewife moment. We like gave them a clip each, and mine was just like Kim Zolciak sitting in her convertible, smoking a cigarette, drinking Sauvignon Blanc, listening to that demo. Do you know what I'm talking about? And she's like, Dallas Austin said I sound like Cher, and I was like, you sound like Tom Waits. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, she was like, I was like, but like, I'm not dragging her. Like, it's iconic. The Party City wig with like the, it's just like, it's so fucking good. And it's like, this is when reality TV was like, like you can't buy that kind of reality, right?
No, you can't. It's gone forever. but it was so precious.
Yeah. Someone else on the panel, their moment was. Yeah, someone else on the panel, their moment was like Jules and Luann sitting outside in the Berkshires. And Jules is like, my dad is on the phone and I think he had a heart attack. And then Luann's like, can you believe she called me a whore? And she's like smoking a cigarette. And she's like, my dad is like almost dying. And she's like, yeah, but can you believe Bethany called me a whore? And it's like, I think that Jules didn't get a fair shake, you know? Like, yeah.
Jules was a mine of entertainment. She plunged her hands into the ice to collect them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. She's nutty.
And the food, the brunch food everywhere, like just the mania going on was fascinating. And that whole dynamic with her husband, that was just like,
they didn't explore reality enough, television. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
not at all.
So going off of that, we were talking about BravoCon. Were there any like the nicest wives to you when you met, or even just like the other Bravo people that you met?
I mean, you met my friend
Leah, but you met Leah.
Yeah, and I love Leah.
Leah from Thailand. Yeah,
from Girls Trip. And we text and talk like on the daily. I love her. She is a real one for sure. They were all nice. I did Kathy Hilton, which was like crazy. Kathy Hilton just walked by and came up to me and we chatted for a quick minute. And that was,
I don't care a lot about her. Like, I don't know. And you know, I'm sick of the like Beverly Hills conversation. It's like one of my least favorites. Like my favorites are like Salt Lake City, New Jersey, Potomac. I like that like sector. I'm not like marveled by like actually famous people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care.
I know. Yeah. I see what
it's
you're
just
saying.
Like too far removed for me. I mean, yeah, it's great. Whatever. And by the way, guys, like, I don't give a fuck what you guys say. Kathy Hilton said that shit. Whatever Lisa Rinna said, she said, she said that shit. Like, I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? Like, Lisa's a lot of things, but I don't think she's lying. You know,
Lisa's usually pretty straight up. And I was like, I tweeted, you know, I would.
And that doesn't mean I like
Kathy
Lisa, by the way.
Drag me any day. No, well, Lisa's been really good to me. Which always surprises me when like the OGs are just so kind to the newbies. Because I would be irritated if like, you know, you've been doing this for slugging out for so long and then we come in, it's already its own zeitgeist. It's already its own, you know, thing of nature, force of nature. Yeah. We just kind of get to ride the coattails of everyone that's gone before. And it's become a parody of itself in so many ways that like, I think my hope is my love for the genre is like, I am going to just keep it real.
I don't think it's,
you know,
like, yeah, yeah. I don't think it's necessarily you guys riding the coattails. I think if anything, you guys, it's like a volley, like you guys showed up and I feel like the shows were getting too serious and your show invigorated kind of like the franchise, because it's just like, you guys come in and it's like this like level of humor and like oddity in a way, because like you guys are a very diverse cast. You have Mary, we're going to talk about it, but like, it's just like, there's all these weird things going on and it kind of made the other casts kind of get less serious and you know what I mean? And just kind of like have fun with it.
Yeah, kind of go back to that zany Party City wig with a glass wig with of wine the,
yes,
in the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what we love. That's what I want. That's what it should be, you know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be
miss Mary?
Heavy.
Do you miss Mary as much as we do? I do. I don't say we.
Well, I didn't realize when I was in it, you know, you're so afraid the first season. You're just so afraid of just getting eviscerated and called out and just meaned, you know? And so you live in a lot of fear and you don't understand the entertainment factor or the heavy lifting that it might require to like keep things moving, you know? So season one and two, I was just kind of getting comfortable with how entertaining Mary was.
Yeah.
And now season three, you're just like, damn, if she was in the room, something funny, something crazy and something unexpected was going to happen just by her being in the room.
Yeah.
And you don't have that with these other women, you know, it's just not the same.
Yeah. It's just like, she, again, reminds me of like old school reality TV, whatever show you guys were filming. She was filming a completely different show. She was filming in her closet talking to mannequin heads and she's like on FaceTime half of the time. And you guys are like, where's Mary? It's like kind of that Kim Richards factor. It's a welcome ingredient, but you guys are great. Honestly, like I would watch each of you in your own thing, but she's missed.
She is. And she was a unique human being. And you know, you never say never. No, we didn't.
Yeah.
We only met through the show and we haven't spoken since, but she keeps in touch with Meredith.
Okay. That's
Meredith can keep in touch with everyone. Meredith can swim in all circles.
Yeah.
Meredith is a swan.
Yes. Yeah.
Everywhere.
I was like, what did Mary say? She's like, women.
Yeah, she was also fascinating as a kind of a prototype of Salt Lake City, because she grew up in a very insular community where she was an outsider, and you could see how that culture shaped her attitudes and her energies and like her exchanges. And I just found that would have taken six seasons to like figure out, to really get into.
I would have loved it. There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the beginning then. So like, you know, these shows get casted. Usually it's one person that's kind of a nucleus and then they kind of cast off of that person. Can you talk about like when the show came to you and kind of who was that person?
Well, the nucleus was really mom and dad, Lisa and Meredith. They had a mutual friend and it started out on a group text. Their producer friend reached out to them. And then it wasn't Luke. It was
because Luke was on your show, right? The showrunner?
Luke was our first showrunner. Yeah.
Love him.
I met Luke. Yeah. When Bravo came out to kind of vet us. And that's when Luke came out and like, kind of like saw where we live, saw where we worked, kind of saw the lay of the land. And I love Luke. He was season one and season three showrunner. Mm-hmm. So we've had him twice. Yeah. And then, but we had that weird thing in the beginning because we had a different media company cast us and sizzle reel and sell it. Mm-hmm. And then it changed. I guess it changed after we finished filming even. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, they did a couple.
It was
it the original core cast of women? Was it like Jen and Mary and you and Whitney? Okay, cool. So it's always
basically Meredith and Lisa, then me, then Whitney, Jen, and Mary. And Mary was, I think, if I were to say who they were casting around originally, it was like Mary.
Oh,
but
really?
That wasn't Mary was such an island that I think that it was.
Yeah.
It was kind of dead in the water. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't a format that was working. And so then
I think she was shopping something with her family. She was like shopping something around with her family. Mm-hmm. Like,
And it just wasn't gelling.
Yeah.
And so then, and maybe we'll see that. Maybe it'll be like a Mary Cosby and Salt Lake City show.
And Robert Sr. Yeah.
Yeah. It's completely. So it started out just Lisa Barlow called me and told me that they were casting and she thought I would know a lot of people because of my business.
Yeah.
And that was really it. I didn't ever consider myself to be in the running. I just wanted to like impress Lisa, get her lots of names, be involved, you know, just have my hands in it, just be adjacent to it. And like, try to get my hat straight.
Yeah.
and that was all that it started out as. And so it was, you know, I'm kind of that's kind of my thing is like, I want to get in and help out and recommended as many people as I knew. And then they just kept calling me back too. And
that's awesome.
And it,
organically,
The sizzle reel. Yeah. And it was crazy. And it was us. And Whitney wasn't originally cast, which was kind of a surprise. They added her at the end.
Okay.
After they sold the show.
Huh. So speaking of bad weather, so obviously we're going through some bad weather. I think it's kind of like the same in the same spot as they were when you left BravoCon. You think?
Yeah. Maybe gone down.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. Internet stuff, right?
Yeah, it's social media. It's doubling down and you know, the episodes are playing out. And there's a lot of drama that happens as the episodes play out, which usually gets resolved at reunion. And that's happening right now, but it's compounding kind of these fragmented issues that have been stewing, you know, and brewing. And so
reality TV will do that.
I know. So it's just the tornado is spinning, the cyclone's spinning, and there's a lot to discuss at reunion, but like, I'm so scared. I hate who I am at reunions. I hate it. And I don't want to even go. Like, I don't want to go to reunion. I'd rather.
Nobody wants to go. It's the day that's like 12 hours. You don't want to like sit there and do it, but you know.
I go into this weird like mode of like, I just can only describe it as like an outside linebacker, just like, Super Bowl, like mental,
you have to go into like
Super Bowl status. Yeah. And I hate it. So I'm going to try to go into reunion, like just with not prepared to defend anything, but just to take it all in. And I want you to hold me accountable to that.
I will for sure. I will be texting you. Wait, so I lost my track of thought. I was saying about, it's fine. From the outside, from my perspective, just like totally, this is not your perspective on it, but like just from viewing it from the outside, I feel like you always viewed it as like a very genuine relationship between you guys. And I don't know Whitney personally, but it just feels a bit like she's perpetuating these like issues and like creating larger issues for the show. I don't know, just to kind of push a story along. That's how it appears to me, because it seems like she's taking one small thing and kind of magnifying it and kind of drawing it out. And it feels a little bit like, I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn because it's like, obviously your family, but it feels as a viewer inauthentic. That's just me.
And that's kind of what I said at BravoCon. Like, it feels like a reach. It feels like in this tumultuous, torrid bowl world. And then you add reality television and you add kind of the auspices of all of this, like strength in unity and loyalty and, you know, togetherness, and not even in terms of like alliances and numbers, but just comfort and safety and trust. And those were things that I absolutely treasured. And they were the X factor between like me loving the experience and really dreading it. And season 3 was very, very difficult for me. And you really see me push to my limits. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Even with all of the trolling and everything, season 1 that I had to kind of, you know, come up out of, season 3 just broke my heart and my spirit in so many ways, because I didn't have an ally.
Yeah.
I had season 1 and 2, and that I felt that void and I hated it. And I, responded, reacted at like someone pushed their limits, you know?
Yeah. Would we be surprised to know anything that maybe didn't make it to air for the season that maybe you wish? Cause I know that there's so much stuff that ends up not even being shown and stuff gets, I know you can't give too much away about what's to come, but like, is there anything that maybe would surprise people to know?
Yeah, oh, I think there's a lot of things that will surprise people that will come up at reunion.
Okay.
That just will fill in a lot of the gaps, I think, that we're seeing right now. Like, wait, why is this happening? And, you know, why is like, why does it look like Heather's not supporting Jen all of a sudden? You know, like all of these things. I think at reunion we'll be able to like kind of tackle that and address it. But I think what would surprise people the most to know is that like, it was a really hard season. You know, it was hard. Yeah. We were really grieving losing Jen. You know, that was weighing on all of us. It wasn't season two. It was like, is this real? And then season three, it was like, this is our last time with her, you know, and it just felt very heavy. You know, all the bad weather breakup was really hard. And I think that I'm comfortable being funny and enjoying it and like being the good time girl. I'm not comfortable
feuding,
you know, feuding. I'm not. I don't like it. I'll fight.
I'll watch other people's fights.
I'll speaking, watch. I'll narrate.
Next season, for sure.
I don't want to be in conflict. I want to be friends. I just do. I think we can be. I think we are. It's more fun and we're stronger that way. And that's just my people pleasing personality. You know, this show has changed so many things about me internally. Because I mean, I really was like dead inside, like just absolutely dead inside. And like a lot of 40-year-old women don't get a second chapter, certainly not in my community and certainly not with my track record and my genetic dowry, you know, like.
Oh, no. We're not doing that.
You know what I'm, okay, I know, but you know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, I'm not going to get discovered, but it just to have a business that's successful, to have friends,
you want to celebrate kind of
that. New lease on life. Yeah, I really, I feel like life is short and I want to, everyone's like, you need boundaries, you need confidence. And like, I have had enough boundaries in my life as a Mormon. I've had boundaries from day fucking one, you know, I don't need boundaries anymore. Like I would rather give foolishly, love heartily and just be, have egg on my face than like play it smart and take care of number one. That's just never how I'm going to be happy. And if that makes me a sad sack people pleaser, that's who I am.
And so be it.
Yeah.
Wait, so speaking of feuds, I want to get your opinion on a couple of feuds and you let me know which way you would lean.
Okay.
So like, so this is another family thing, Teresa versus Melissa, which one would you be on? Which side?
This one is really, really
so many winding. Yeah, it's like.
I'll tell you, I am a sucker for Joe Gorga.
Okay.
Like, Joe, if he's anywhere in the vicinity, I just am going to yield to him. That's the patriarchy. That's how I feel. He's handsome and sweet and charming and all the machismo that I'm just drawn to. So, but Teresa was wonderful at BravoCon. So was Melissa. And they're stunning people. They're stunning physically and just energy wise. They're just magnetic. And so that's a tough call for me. I usually try to be divisive, but that one I can't say.
Okay, fair. Bethany versus Carol.
Bethany.
Yeah, same.
Carol. I thought Carol was the exact element New York needed for so many years. And I hated when Carol got really fancy and out Bethany. I hated that.
I thought happening.
Yeah, it just seemed like I felt like, and I still feel like they could be friends again. I really do.
I know. I always think that too, but then they're just like, Marlo versus Kenya. That's tough too. Kenya.
That's really tough. Yeah. Marlo, I talked to Marlo at BravoCon, thrill. But I really fell in love with Kenya watching Ultimate Girls Trip. I saw the side of Kenya that I had never understood. And I just was absolutely charmed by her on Ultimate Girls Trip. And so now I'm just kind of got stars in my eyes for Kenya right now.
So I want to talk to you more about Girls Trip. We'll go over to the bonus episode. You guys can subscribe at patreon.com/theBList. And do you want to tell people about the book a bit? Like, it's coming out February 7th.
Yes.
Can people already pre-order?
They can pre-order. And I'm learning that pre-orders are like absolutely essential if the book is to ever make it to the shelves. So if you are so inclined to buy it, I would beg all of your listeners to pre-order, because the Mormon Church is challenging my use of the term Bad Mormon. And they're like challenging the trademark, they're challenging all of it. And there's a chance that they can't stop the publication, but it's a stumbling block in getting the book out there. And commercial success is important to me. And the book is my heart and soul. I wrote every single word. It is a love letter to the religion that broke my heart, but it's also got so many Easter eggs of pop culture and housewife nuggets and housewife quotes. And like, if you love pop culture and you love redemption stories of rags to riches, I think you'll love Bad Mormon. So pre-order, it comes out February 7th.
I'll link it when I,
okay, I would love that. Thank you.
I was going to say something. I keep losing my train of thought. I was going to,
I just charmed the socks right off of you.
I know.
So charming. I was like, I'm matching hats.
We're twinning right now. It's insane. Again, patreon.com/thebelistguys. Go subscribe there. And yeah, we'll see you on the B side, guys. We're going to talk about Girls Trip. I want to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with you. And
can't wait.
We're going to talk about Needed Tequila.
All the good stuff.
The good stuff is over there. Okay.